Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggin Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift. Explore, train and compete on the cycling app where fun is fast. I'm Graham Wilgos, talking stage 14 of the Tour de France with Sir Bradley Wiggins. And Brad, we're in the van, we've gone mobile.
I could have come and done it in the back with you.
You could have done, but it's a very odd format with you sat in the front next to podcast Pete.
No, that's all right. I like sitting my back to Graham.
We're doing our best to get out of possibly the worst restaurant any of us have ever eaten in.
It was disgusting.
So, we will move on very, very quickly. Today's stage, Brad, ended in Queen in the foothills of the Pyrenees. Getting out of there proved quite difficult, didn't it?
It did. We ended up on a dirt track, didn't we?
30% gradients going.
Handbrake turn in the van.
Yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster getting out of there. So, very pleased to be just north of Perpignan, where we are now on our way to the start. Tomorrow's stage, on today then, Bauke Mollema. We saw him climb to victory, soloing off the breakaway. A lone attack. He went 40 kilometres out. He went a long way to do it, a long way to win it. Real, as Rob Hatch called it on comms, real swashbuckling stuff.
Yeah, Bauke has been, I mean, it seems like he's been racing forever. Which he has, I suppose. I mean, he's been racing certainly since, I remember him at the Vuelta in 2011. I think he got fourth there when I was second. And he's had a lot more success since he's given up his aspirations of GC riding. He's won San Sebastian, hasn't he, of course, and a couple of other big races. And he's won a stage in the Vuelta.
Won a stage in the Tour a couple of years ago, 2017, yeah. We saw him last win.
And now and today, but that was the most impressive one I've seen, race I've seen him win, because obviously I was still there on the motorbike when he went, and he had a lot of work to do still when he did that. And I was surprised there wasn't more attacks from behind to try and get him back, actually. But he was clearly the strongest, and that was a very, very impressive solo ride.
It felt like a very Bauke Mollema type of stage to me today.
Yeah, I mean, being there in the break, I was there behind for a long time in the peloton, and there were so many tired legs today. I think a lot of people have really spent now this tour, because the race has just been frantic. And the first 2 hours today were run off 100 kilometres in the first 2 hours.
Yeah, another incredibly quick start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The break took nearly 100 kilometres to even form in the first place.
Yeah, well, it stopped for a bit, and then it started up again, and the gap came right down again, and then it reformed, and UAE weren't really doing... UAE were happy for it to sort of keep racing, really. And there was some criticism as to why they wouldn't take control of it. But having seen Pogacar's comments after the finish today, it kind of makes sense, actually. I thought he had a really good point, what he meant about now other teams have got to take up the riding, because obviously that Frenchman,
Guillaume Martin,
is in second now overall. And that's put pressure on Ineos from their point of view, put pressure on Education First from Uran's point of view, and I think it's throwing the cat amongst the pigeons, really. And it was either a tactical coup or they bluffed it, one or the other.
Just to give you Tadej Pogacar's quote in full. So he said that after today's stage, when we saw UAE sort of quite happy for the break to go in the end and just sort of control the pack, we saw Mark Hirschi riding on the front, which is unusual for him on a stage of the race where you might have expected him to go for a solo win if it was last year's tour.
Well, yeah, it was definitely made for Hirschi, that kind of course, wasn't it? But I think that's a change of role now. They need all hands on deck when it comes to UAE, and that it shows you the difference in what riding for GC does and how it really eliminates and takes out your big players, really, for those individual stage wins. And that's what Mollema capitalised on today, is that he's not... A, they haven't got a GC guy like they did last year with Richie. Balcom's not riding GC anymore. So he's able to get up there and win stages like that. And Trek haven't won a stage in the Tour for quite a few years now. I think their last stage win was... when was it? I think it was back in Radio Shack's days, actually. Oh, no, sorry. I think it was... Yeah, it was... John Degenkolb.
Degenkolb, yeah.
Roubaix stage, yeah.
Yeah, just outside the velodrome it finished, didn't
yeah.
it? So that Pogacar quote, he said, "I've checked the Andorra stage." So he's talking about tomorrow's race. "It's going to be hard for sure, but I have good feelings coming into tomorrow. I will ride defensively because my first goal is to defend yellow. But if an opportunity comes, I will try to grab it. I wasn't really concerned about Guillaume Martin being in the break," he means. 4 minutes is still a good gap, which is what he has on GC, good gap for me on him. Now it's other teams who need to chase him, and that is going to be very useful in the coming days.
Yeah, so they're going to use other teams to chase him. And the big one is, you know, when I talk about them eliminating individual athletes from it riding GC, I mean, look at Ineos, you know, they've Teo's like, you know, from his a Giro winner, you know, it would have been great to see him up the road in a break like that and try and win a stage or G, but they're having to they're really having to sort of all hands on deck when it comes to working for Carapaz. But
yeah, what did you make of Ineos today? So you might have heard in the background there as well, we should say, the sat-nav, just letting Podcast Pete know where we're going and there might be one or two hazards ahead.
I mean, yeah, what do I make of Ineos? I don't know, really. I mean, I'm not sure how they're going to approach this last week. The thing I would say is, coming out of the Tour, if they finish third in the Tour, it doesn't really mean much for Ineos, does it, after their success and what they've achieved over the years? I'd like to see him go all out to try and win the race, but what is all out against Pogacar, because he's immensely strong at the moment.
They're running out of time as well.
Yeah, I mean, I probably selfishly just want to see someone like G and Teo and those guys up the road and trying to get into a break and win a stage like Kwiatkowski, like they did last year, you know, where Carapaz and Kwiatkowski went away.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to see them get something out of the race, because I don't think third place for them is not. I don't think that's success for them.
We saw Gabriel Rasch promise before the Tour that it was going to be a return to the Ineos or Sky days of old, where we were going to see a mountain train and Ineos take the race on and drive at the front and use their numbers to better effect. But that's almost the opposite has happened. We've not seen that at all.
Yeah.
And the numbers that they went in with, I mean, they're down to one, arguably, with the gap between Carapaz and Pogacar.
Too much now, isn't it?
5:33.
Yeah.
With three mountain stages plus the time trial to go to make up that deficit. It's looking unrealistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to catch him unless he has a really, really bad day. And, you know, he seems pretty confident at the moment. And you just can't see it happening, can you? But anything can happen in the Tour, but... You know, I wouldn't underestimate Ineos until we get to the end in Paris. You know, they'll try something, I guess, but their numbers are limited by G being hit and miss because of his injuries. Mm. And obviously Teo and those guys have crashed as well. Richie's crashed. So they're not... It's unpredictable from the point of view of them being able to have a full squad firing because of injuries. Whereas if they were all fully fit, you know, they probably would have lived up to the promise of Gabriel Rasch. So... You were kind of judging him on a weakened squad through the injuries and crashes they've sustained.
Would you have wanted to see more from EF today, Education First? Because, so Guillaume Martin, I'll give you the full GC, well, the 1-5 on GC, I should say. Pogacar, then Guillaume Martin, who's shot from 9.5 minutes to second place, 4:04. Then we've got Rigoberto around at 5:18. Then Jonas Vingegaard, Jumbo Visma's man, at 5:32. Carapaz 1 second behind him. EF, a bit like Ineos perhaps today, missed a trick by not sending someone up the road to reel in Guillaume Martin.
Yeah, I mean, I think the break was just frantic. Like I say, race for 100K, so it wasn't as easy as just placing someone in there. But, you know, once 13 riders got away, it's very difficult to reel them in. And I think everyone was a bit knackered by then. And when we went up the first climb, there must have been 70 riders out the back.
Mm.
And they were all in ones and twos. There was no real formation and it was brutal. I came through the pack on that motorbike at that point, from Cav's group right to the front. And there was a lot of tired bodies going up that climb. And that was the first climb of the day.
We saw Sergio Higuita and Patrick Conrad fight it out for second and third. Then De Koenig, Quick Steps, Matteo Cattaneo. Then Michael Woods.
Yeah.
At five today. His consolation prize, though, is the polka dot jersey.
Yeah, well, he did a great ride, didn't he? He was instigating, he was there all day, really, you know, trying, pushing and pushing so much. He had a crash on one of the descents, got back up and got back in swiftly, and I think he got his just reward. So, good on him.
We've seen him up there a lot in the previous mountain stages. He's looking for that stage win for Israel Startup Nation.
Yeah, Israel have been brilliant, actually, I think, this race. They've been really...
animating the race.
Yeah, I mean, from Greipel the other day to... What's his name in the break yesterday?
Omer Goldstein.
Yeah, Omer Goldstein.
Yeah.
And then Michael Woods today up there today, yeah. So it was, you know, they've been, I think, for their first Tour de France. It is their first Tour de France, isn't it? Their second Tour de France, of course. And I think they've been really animated this race. I think they've done themselves justice. And I think they'll deserve a stage win at some point if that comes. So, you know, and Chris Froome as well. I heard on the race radio a lot today when through the start. He was really up there on the front line trying to get into a break as well. So it's good to see him coming back into some...
Great seat.
Finding his legs a little bit. And I think, you know, it'd be nice to see him in the third week.
Brad, we're sponsored by Zwift, the cycling app where fun is fast but also unlocks performance. I'm a big fan getting on there with the boys, David and Stephen, as you know.
Yeah.
I've been exploring a few of the training plans.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
Well, training plans on Zwift help you improve every single time. I'm currently on board with G's training plan. Geraint Thomas, fun is flying uphill.
I bet that's a tough one.
It's not easy. This workout focuses on improving your muscular endurance, a pillar of any great time trialist like you, Brad, mountain climber or stage racer, to help you deal with hard surges and improve your ability to fly uphill.
Well, that's quite good, Graham. Is that, and do you find it's helping you improve?
Helps you improve just because it's so easy to use. And if you want to find out just how simple that is, there's a special offer, a 7-day free trial. Find out more, download the app today. Brad, can we talk about Mark Cavendish? I think we have to, don't we?
Yeah.
The day after his
yeah.
matching Eddie Merckx's record with 34 stage wins. Le Keep's headline this morning.
Yeah.
Le Cannibal du Sprint.
Yes.
Lovely way to sum it up.
Yeah, I think it's just a nice comparison, isn't it? It's a good way of sort of segregating the two, really. And Eddie's the greatest of all time and Mark's the greatest sprinter of all time. And I think that's... it's just they did it well, actually, to keep for once.
We were speculating over how close he might come to the time cut today. Came in just over 25 minutes down. The cutoff was 48, so well within it.
Well within it, yeah. He looked good today, Cav. Yeah.
He did. When he
was. I mean, it was trying hard, but everyone was.
Mm.
And he was ahead of most on the road. The one who really struggled today was Buhani, but I think he came in. I saw him at the end come in. I think yeah. he was well within the time. They got dropped very, very early with Tim de Klerk.
Mm.
So it was good to see Tim de Klerk get through as well.
Mm. Cav had a lot of troops around him. So Alaphilippe was up the road. We saw him have one or two digs. Michael Morkov, Tim de Klerk, Dries Stemmens and Davide Ballerini all shepherded Cav across the line. We also saw Dries Stemmens sweep up a few of the sprint points. Real team effort going for the green jersey.
Yeah, we saw Michael Matthews take a handful of points back on the intermediate sprint, but he's still quite a way off Cav, and I think the team fully believe in Cav now that they can win that green jersey, and that's becoming a really realistic ambition now.
Let's talk about tomorrow, Brad. Stage 15, 191.3 kilometres into Andorra, backloaded with three Cat 1 climbs and a Cat 2 climb in the final 120 kilometres. It really stacks up. Apart from Tadej Pogacar, we're looking at the real GC men to come to the fore tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah, well, is there any GC men here? I mean, I keep trying to big it up every day and talk about it, but it's just changing every day. Last week we had that Ben bloke up there.
Ben O'Connor, yeah.
Yeah, we got keep going about Carapaz. I mean...
Brad, are we looking at seeing fireworks from Pogacar tomorrow?
I think he might actually have another go, yeah. Especially before the rest day.
I mean, he said he's going to ride defensively, but to me, that
yeah,
says,
but, you know,
like, look out, I'm coming for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think he'll just see it on the road, really. If there's a few people struggling or whatever, and he sees that opportunity, like he did in Teen, I think he'll go again. You know, but if he's got the good legs, I think he'll go again and put more time into him.
Big day, serious altitude. Fair to say we're looking forward to it. That's it for this episode of the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift. Find your fun on the cycling app where fun is fast. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Thanks also to our producer and chauffeur, Pete Burton. You can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Download, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.